The text is 2 Kings chapter 5, 1 to 14. Now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now the bands from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram said. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, and taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robe and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me, of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then if he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God told him, and his flesh was restored and he became clean like that of a young boy.
Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm and I bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." "Go in peace," Elisha said.
Well, congregation, we are going again into our little series here of living in the presence of God. And this is our fourth sermon with regard to this series. And what we wanted to do, remember that thinking of and living with the presence of God isn't just a Sunday thing. We need to learn to live in God's presence every moment and every day. And so we come to this interesting passage in 2 Kings as, of all things, a preparation for Christmas. You might say, well, how does this work? Well, let's look at this child first of all. I don't know about you. I don't recall my parents ever saying it. Maybe it happened in your household around the dinner table, I've certainly heard it said in amongst congregational members whose houses I visited. But there's a saying, children should be seen but not heard. Okay, I can see by the smiles and the nods that some of you are aware of this saying. All right. Interestingly enough, it seems to run counter to what the Bible teaches. When you take a look at Psalm 8 verse 2, it says, "From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger." So the Lord wants children to be heard, and in fact ordains praise from them. It's interesting when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, you know, that Palm Sunday, and the children apparently were making a huge noise as they were welcoming Jesus into the city. And the leaders, the Pharisees and others, tried to shut them down. And what was it that Jesus had to say? He again refers to the children and let them go, leave them alone. And with regard to the whole crowd, he says, you know, if they're quiet, the rocks will even start speaking and singing my praise. So as we continue our preparations for Christmas, we want to find what's so important about this little girl. This little girl serving a Gentile master in a foreign land. What's, of course, the beginning of what's special about her is that she knew God and she trusted him. Remember that psalm? Out of the mouths of children you have ordained praise. Here's a little girl living in a foreign land, but she hasn't forgotten her God. And she hasn't given up on him. You know, she's been taken into exile, away from her people. Yet she remembers God and she still trusts in him. And so she doesn't just keep this knowledge to herself, but she has come to have an affection, it seems, for her master. Because she's got a wish. There's something that she longs for. Listen to these words again. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet." You hear the anguish in those words? If only. If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria. He could cure him. He could cure him of his leprosy. Those words are really so apt for a Christian message. If only he could see the prophet. We can say today of people that we know who don't know Jesus, if only they would know Jesus. And we're going to see in a moment how Jesus is the ultimate prophet. If only they could see the prophet, then they would be cured. Isn't that what the Christmas message is all about? For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. If only they could see the prophet and they would be cured. So we need to take this in. What was it that this little girl knew? What was it that happened to Naaman when he acted on that advice when it finally got to him? And so we're going to see, Lord willing, that this passage in 2 Kings tells us of the good news of how do we step ourselves into the presence of God. Remember our series is about living in the presence of God? How do we get into the presence of God? And then for those that we love and even those that we want to reach that we don't even know yet and bring the gospel to them, how do we bring them into the presence of God? So let's take a look at a very important passage in Scripture in Isaiah 55:6-7, where it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon." So here's this wonderful invitation, because that's what it is. It's an invitation to the lost. And what does it say? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Turn to the Lord. And what will they find? What have you and I found? He will have mercy on us and he will, now listen to this, freely pardon. He will freely pardon. So here in 2 Kings, we have Naaman. This guy is just no ordinary guy. He's extremely powerful. He is the commander of the army of the king of Aram. right? So he's not an administrator, you know, just keeping books and that sort of stuff. He's not a secretary recording the deeds of the king. This is the commander of the army. This guy commands great respect. I guess his troops would be very much scared of him, okay? This guy is high up with regard to power in the kingdom. And he is also a man in high favor with the king of Aram. How do we know this? Because when the king goes to worship his god, which is an idol, whose arm does he lean on? Apparently the king wasn't a well man. He wasn't a very mobile man. He needed some support. You know how it is with the aged that we might give them our arm and they lean on our arm? This king, whenever he went to worship his god, he chose the commander of his army to take him into the temple. See how close the relationship was? Not only was he a powerful man, not only did he have, you know, great presence in the kingdom, but he had a special relationship to the king. This was a really important guy. When we take a look at this great man, though, we realize he had two significant problems that were beyond his power to overcome. Now, you can have all this power, you can have all this wealth, all this prestige, and still you can be way down here. What were his problems? First of all, he had leprosy. In other words, physically, he had a death sentence. There was no cure for it. So this man had leprosy. He had a great need with regard to that. And then also, he had a great spiritual need. He didn't know God. He lived without God in the world. You know, in Ephesians 2:11-12, it's drawn out for us what that means to not have a relationship with God, to not live in the presence of God. Listen to this from Ephesians 2:11-12. Remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise. Now listen to this. Without hope and without God in the world. So Naaman was a Gentile. He wasn't a part of God's covenant people. He was excluded from a relationship with God up to that time. And Ephesians tells us, therefore, he was without hope. And he was without hope because he was without God in the world. He didn't live in the presence of God. When you take a look at this passage, it might seem to appear that, well, what he needed was to step into the presence of the prophet. Because after all, that's what the little girl said, didn't she? If only he would go to the prophet. If only he would go there and then he would be cured. So it looks as though the prophet, Elisha, is the main person in this story. It looks like this is where all the healing is going to take place, from Elisha. But when we take a look at Naaman's response after he's been cured, we get a whole different slant on it. Listen to 2 Kings 5:15-18. Then Naaman and all his attendees went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel." He goes back to the prophet, and it's not the prophet who gets the praise. Naaman comes back and doesn't say, "Wow, what a great prophet you are. My slave girl was right. I came to you, the prophet, and you cured me." Didn't say that, did he? He came back to Elisha, and what does he say? "Now I know that there's no other God in all the world except the God of Israel." That's quite something. Then he goes on to say, "Please accept now a gift from your servant. Your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord." So he stepped into the presence not of the prophet Elisha, but through Elisha and through his cure, he demonstrates he stepped into the presence of God. "I now know that there's no other God, and from now on I will not worship any other God but the Lord God." That's quite a powerful thing to have happened. All because of a little girl. I'm glad she spoke up. I'm glad she hadn't heard of that tale to be quiet. So let's look at this a little bit further. Naaman, on account of his leprosy without healing from God, was doomed to die physically. And more so, Naaman, without God in the world, was doomed to die spiritually and eternally suffer in hell. And Naaman's cleansing wasn't just from leprosy, wasn't just a physical cleansing. But what we find in Matthew 10, 7, 8 also speaks to what Naaman experienced. It says here, "As you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead," and then listen to this, "cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely you have received, freely give." Leprosy was one of these standout diseases in that time. And when Jesus sent out the disciples, he spoke in terms of people being brought to salvation, also in terms of being cleansed from their leprosy. That's part of the calling that Jesus had himself, as recorded in Scripture, but also he passed on to his disciples. And so in 2 Kings 5:18 to 19, we read, at least initially, Naaman goes in peace. On the first hand, he says, you know, "I'm not going to worship any other god from now on." But he's still got a problem, hasn't he? Because the king requires him to go with him into the temple. Do you remember? He leans on Naaman's arm. Listen to this. "May the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down and he is leaning on my arm, and I bow there also," in other words, he has to go down in order to continue to support the king. "And when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." And Elisha says, "Go in peace." Now, obviously, he goes away believing he's at peace. He wants to serve only the Lord, but he's got this other thing going on with the king. We're not in a position to judge whether he was lost or saved. Same as with King Solomon. There are those who want to write off King Solomon because of what's recorded in terms of how he departed from the Lord. But no one knows where these people end up at the end of their lives. The important thing is to see indeed that this man had come to realization there's only one God. And his realization is so strong that he asks for forgiveness. That when he bows down, not to worship the idol, but to assist the king in worshipping the idol, that he be forgiven. And Elisha says to him, "Go in peace." Living in the presence of God. How did Naaman find him? How did Naaman become physically clean? And as far as we can tell, spiritually clean, and we pray, you know, without knowing that perhaps right to the end of his life, the Lord continued to hold on to him. We can't say anything clearly about that. We don't know. But what about people we know? What about ourselves? How can those without God and without hope in the world find him and in him find peace? After all, that's what the Christmas message is all about. So many of the carols speak about peace, don't they? And all the Christmas cards. You know, I've been getting heaps of Christmas cards already and wishes through the Facebook and whatever else. That word peace comes up a lot. Okay? How do people find this peace? How can anyone find God today? Well, the first answer is they must go to the prophet. Now, I don't know if you were wondering why the two first readings. Okay, from Deuteronomy and then also from Acts. Remember what God said to Moses? A prophet will come after you. Great prophet. And everyone must listen to him. And woe betide anyone who doesn't listen to him. We're not told there, you know, who that person is, who this prophet is. But in Acts chapter 3, when there's the healing of this lame man, okay, we are told that this Jesus is the prophet that was promised to Moses, that had been waited for all these years. Jesus is that prophet. And we must listen to him, and to not listen to him is indeed a death sentence. Jesus is the prophet. And so just like that little girl said to her mistress to pass on to her master, you know, if only he would go to the prophet. Well, the question we have today is, what do people need to do today in order to step into the presence of God to find a cure for what they are in ailment of? And we'll get to that in a moment. And what's the answer? They must go to the prophet. Not to Elisha, but to the prophet. The one promised to Moses, the one that the book of Acts tells us is Jesus Christ. They need to go to Jesus. If they wish to be healed, they need to go to the prophet. They need to go to Jesus. And the second thing is, Naaman didn't just need to go to the prophet Elisha, where he discovered God, but he needed to understand his powerlessness to be cured. Did you see how much treasure he took with him? All this gold and silver and all this clothing, the intention was to buy off the prophet. He thought he had to pay for his cure. And he gets to Elisha eventually, and what does Elisha say? Go to the Jordan River, dip in it 7 times, and you'll be cured. What's Naaman's reaction? He flies into a rage. Right? This is, you know, humbling. He says, oh, we got better rivers, far better rivers back home. Why should I go in this dirty brown Jordan River? Why should I go into there and dip myself in there 7 times? You know, he had to give himself over, and he wasn't prepared to do that. And I have to laugh. You take a look at what his expectation was. It's recorded for us. I expected, he said, that the prophet would come out to me and he'd wave his hands over the leprosy, over the spot, and then all of a sudden it would be cured. He wanted all this abracadabra stuff, you know, but he wasn't getting it. This was way beyond his expectations. It was far lower than his expectations. He couldn't buy this cure. He just simply had to humbly follow the instructions. And so he did. And he was cleansed. It's interesting, the servants of Naaman pointed out to him how irrational he was in storming off and heading back home and not going to the Jordan. Listen to this. My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young man. See, that's the problem that a lot of the world has today. So many people think that they can buy their salvation. So long as I, even Christians, so long as I read my Bible regularly and often enough, so long as I put enough money in the plate, so long as I get along to church, all those things, they are depending upon what they can offer to God. And God says, want nothing of it. Sure, do those things, but as a thank you. But don't do them in order to be cured. Because this I've already done for you on the cross. No payment. We need to go to the prophet, to Christ, and we need in his blood to be cleansed. You see, the cleansing that we need today and people that we want to bring to Jesus need today is not in a river. It's not the waters of the Swan. It's not the waters of some other river in Australia or anywhere else in the world. You don't need to go and do a special trip to Israel, to the Jordan, and dip into the Jordan like Naaman did. What people need to dip into these days is the blood of Christ. In Acts 3, 18 to 19 it says, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Isn't that what we've discovered as those who follow Jesus? We've gone to the prophet, we've gone to Christ. And what have we received? Cleansing. Cleansing that we didn't pay for, that which he paid for on the cross. Isn't that what we read in Isaiah 55:1? Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. So Naaman returned home, healed and, as far as we can tell, at peace with God. A man who had stepped into the presence of God had realized there was no other God in all the world except the one in Israel. And today, those who go to Jesus, the prophet, find in him all that they need to have peace with God. In Romans 5, 1-2 it says, therefore, since we have been made right or justified through faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so this little Jewish girl was used of God to bring this mighty man to his knees, to wash in a dirty river that he despised. And there he found peace. There he found also his cure for leprosy. Today, the call goes out, especially to those that you and I mix with, those who don't yet know Jesus. We need to get them to go to the prophet, to come to Christ. Not to come in order to buy him off, but to come and humble themselves and accept the fact that the only means of getting to heaven is through what he's already done. To come to him and to receive his grace. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? This good news. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we give you thanks that long ago when you made that promise to Moses about the prophet that would come, that you have identified so clearly for us in the scriptures that Jesus is that prophet, that he's the one that was being pointed to by all the prophets. Indeed, your word tells us that your word came by many people in various ways, but in these last days, you have spoken to us through your Son. We thank you, Lord, that for our cleansing, we have nothing that we need to find within ourselves. There's nothing that we need to gather up materially in order to offer it to you. You have made it quite clear in your word that we are incapable to save ourselves. But what was needed that you've already provided, that child in a manger became a saviour on a cross. And not staying there, but that on the third day he rose again and in glory and great power ascended into heaven and even now reigns and one day will return to take his people home. And so, Father, we humble ourselves before you. We praise you and we give you thanks. And we ask that you'll move our hearts, that the ones that we would love to come to know Jesus, that we will send them to the prophet, that we will send them and point them towards Jesus and even take them to him ourselves. And we pray that through your grace that you showed towards Naaman, that also you will also, Lord, open up their eyes, help them to humble themselves before you and to receive the cleansing and the refreshing that only you can give. This we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.